tonight I'm going to be preaching a lesson on being encouragers. I think that is something that all of us need to believe in and to stand for, and I hope that everyone is back at that particular time. I will, however, tell you now, as I told the auditorium class this morning, I don't feel well. I think I have every symptom of a cold, achy, fevery, cough, sneeze, stuffy nose, and everything else. And this was a bad time because I determined, though, it might be allergies, it might be something else, so I decided I'm not going to shake hands with anybody or hug anybody. And just as I decided that, Bo and Rosary came in. I wanted to go give Bo a great big old hug, but I declined. And then Sherry walked in after her surgery, and then others walked in, and I thought, oh, what a terrible day to feel bad, and decide not to give anyone a handshake or a hug. But hopefully that will be over real soon. I want to commend Barry for his song leading this morning. He filled in for me too well. He filled in for me too well. I think we're going to be using him again, maybe on a very regular basis in the near future. And that's understandable because Darwin led songs last Friday night. And so they were hot on your heels, Barry. That's what it is. But we are delighted about that. Also, I did make mention in the Bible class, and since Tommy's class was in the other building, some of you might not have heard, but Mike Hahn was seriously injured this past weekend. We know that he has a broken bone in his leg. We know he has a broken wrist. They did send him home with no pain medication, I understand, and told him to contact his orthopedic surgeon. But we need to really, really be praying for Mike. There might even have been some other complications along the way also. So let's really, really remember to pray for Mike and Rhonda and the family. I guess this did happen at a good time in that Colton is home at least for a while longer. But let's really pray for Mike. Seems like there was a few other things I wanted to say. Maybe I will remember them and mention them. You know, all of us, among our favorite passages of Scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and for obvious reasons. That's God's great chapter on love. But even as Paul is giving God's description of true Christian love, he still warns us that there are going to be times when you and I as Christians are going to be challenged in our Christianity, and I think we see that every day of our lives. And so we're going to need not only God's love, but other things to help us through those difficult times. And so even in the midst of this beautiful discourse on love, he reminds us of those difficulties. In fact, let me read as a text beginning with verse 8. Love never fails. Now, he had just talked about the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, but love never fails. Now, where there is prophecy, the divine gift of prophecy, it will stop. Where there is the speaking in unlearned languages, another gift of the Holy Spirit, it will cease. Where there is divine knowledge given to those early Christians to help them proclaim the gospel, it will be done away. He said, right now, it's like we're looking through a glass dimly, but then we will see crystal clear. And he uses this phraseology, and we need to listen to it very well. He says, but when that which is perfect is come. That's the love of God. The love of God perfected. When that which is perfect is come. The bringing together of the New Testament scripture. When that which is perfect is come, we don't need those miraculous gifts anymore. It seems like every time I preach and even mention the miraculous gifts, I will acknowledge, I wish we still had them today. Wouldn't it be nice to go to the medical center in Houston and just heal everyone that's up there? That would be so wonderful. But concerning getting ourselves to heaven, we don't need the miraculous gifts. We have the New Testament. Concerning teaching others about getting to heaven, we don't need the miraculous gifts. We have the New Testament. But then toward the end of that 13th chapter, Paul says, still we're going to face difficulty. And there are some things that are going to be necessary to keep us on the straight and narrow. There's going to be some things that are necessary to keep us on that straight path that leads to heaven. And he identifies them as faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these, he says, is love. Now, Paul is telling us a great deal in this passage of Scripture. First of all, he's comparing the things that we have now with the things we will have then, and the things that we have now that we won't need then. By then, I mean at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Brethren, it's great to have faith today. Don't get me wrong. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But when we're looking at Jesus face to face, we don't need faith anymore. And it's great to have hope. Hope is the anchor that anchors us to our belief in God. But once we see God with our own eyes, we just don't need hope anymore. Now, love is the only consistent. We need love today, and we'll have love in heaven as well. But that's what Paul says will help us today. Those are the essentials to living a Christian life today. Faith, hope, and love. These three, faith, hope, and love. You know, through the Bible, we are given these analogies about to describe the Christian life. Sometimes it's called a race. Sometimes we walk and other things. Envision, if you will, that Christianity, walking the Christian life, is like boarding a giant ocean liner. Linda and I enjoy cruises. Now that we're getting older and more crippled, we're not going to go on nearly as many, but we enjoy cruises. You get on this ocean liner, and they take you to these most beautiful places, and it's such an enjoyable time. Imagine, if you will, that being a Christian is like boarding an ocean liner, and we go here and there throughout our life, but the difference between an ocean liner in the Caribbean, let's say, and the ship that you and I are on is that sometimes the waters that we're navigating are muddy and murky. Sometimes they're even dangerous. Sometimes there are things that are out there that are just causing us peril. And God does not want us to shipwreck. He wants us to remain on this smooth course for the rest of our lives. He's warning, though, that we're going to need faith, and we're going to need hope, and we're going to need love to help us through. Those will protect us and guide us and comfort us. This is the hope. This is what we put our faith in. In 1 John 1, 3, verse 1, John writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the children of God." And then as he talks about some negative things, how the world hated Christ, the world will hate us, he gives a summation. And everyone who has this hope, the hope that we have as Christians, everyone that has this hope will keep ourselves pure because God is pure. So as we're traveling on this ship, though the waters are dangerous and murky, we can make it because of that hope. We can make it because Jesus has promised to come again and receive us unto himself, that where he may be, we may be also. But there's a catch. Doesn't it seem like there's always a catch? There's a catch because Paul is warning us that though we have each other and though we have the Lord and though we have his word, it's still a dangerous world in which we live. And Satan is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's why, for instance, Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "I want to give you this charge. I want to commit this charge to you according to the prophecies that were made about you concerning the faith that has shipwrecked others." And he names Hymenaeus and Alexander. Their faith was shipwrecked and they sunk. Brethren, there are dangers in our Christian life. Just like there are dangers in our physical life, we need faith, hope, and love. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. 2 Timothy 4:1 and 2, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living or the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. That's what he wants us to do. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he tells us why. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn to fables. Brethren, there are fables out there. There are pitfalls out there. There are dangers. There are detours. There are obstacles. There are trials. We need faith, hope, and love. First of all, let's look at faith, the importance of faith. You know, we're so thankful that in our study of the Bible, God has quite often given us glimpses into heaven. He's never gone into great detail to talk about heaven, but he's given us these wonderful glimpses into heaven. And that's why we want to go, because we know what heaven is all about. But throughout the same time frame, God has also not only given us glimpses of heaven, but warning of obstacles along the way. You see, you and I are physical beings. Yes, we are spiritual in one respect, but we are physical beings. And that's why when we look with our physical eyes, all we can see is physical things. But that's not what faith does. The eye of our faith, as some preachers are apt to say, allows us to see beyond the physical and allows us to see all the way into the glories of heaven itself. And we take those little glimpses of heaven and we realize what a beautiful, wonderful, exciting place it's going to be. We can't see that with our physical eyes, but we do with our faith. That's why Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight, which was a conclusion of what he had written in the chapter earlier, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are physical, are temporary. The things that are not seen, the things we cannot see with our physical eye, are eternal and heavenly. It takes faith to see those eternal things. That's why we like to read Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which is the conclusion of what he had written in the 10th chapter. Remember the former days in which after you were enlightened or illumined or came to a knowledge of the truth, it came with great struggle and suffering. And at the conclusion of that, the Hebrew penman says, the righteous or the just walk by faith. Point number two, the importance of hope. Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast to our hope without wavering, for he who promised, that's God, is faithful. Hope is also based on seeing the unseen. I found a very, very good definition of the word hope. One man defined it as desire accompanied by great expectation. Doesn't that sound like hope? Desire accompanied by great expectation. That's also what Paul wrote about to the Romans in Romans chapter 4. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That's just a complicated way of saying hope will anchor us to heaven. Hope will get us there. Hebrews chapter 6. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Hope is something for us today to hold on to when it seems like everything is slipping through our fingers. That's what hope is. Hope will give us that ability to love. And that brings us to our final point, the essentiality of love. Now, I don't think there would be any denying that we need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. No one denies that we don't need hope. Hope is the anchor that keeps us in line. But faith is really greater, as Paul says, because faith is what holds it all together. You know, brethren, we've talked about this in times past, and my heart goes out to people who do not know the Lord. Where would we be without love? Where would we be without the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Where would we be without the love that we have for each other? Jesus was asked, what's the great commandment? He didn't hesitate. The great commandment is love. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love each other with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength also. It's not written that way in Matthew 22, but he says the second is just like it. Love. Where would we be without love? Love is the bond, the cement, the union, the welding that holds us all together. Colossians 2, verse 2, that our hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love. Even more emphatically, Colossians 3, 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It is the cement of perfection. It is what holds us together. So as we live in this life and cruise around, if you will, in a giant cruise ship, let's not get bottomed out in the bogs and the mud and the murk of the world. Let's keep our eyes on God. And when we're traveling around, let's realize that we need hope. We need faith and we need hope and we need love to keep us on that straight and narrow path. Brethren, Jesus wants to save us. He wants to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If he didn't want that, he never would have left heaven in the first place. God wants to save us. He wants to save us so much that he did something that none of us would do. He allowed his only begotten son to die on the cross to secure our salvation. And the Spirit wants us to be saved. He in detail and delicately guided these inspired penmen so that everything we have is right from the heart and the mind of God. It is the roadmap that takes us to heaven. And that's why Jesus can say, you come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Brethren and friends, it's Jesus that calls you. He knows your heart. We don't. But if your heart is saying, I need to be added to the church, Jesus is church. He said, I will build my church, singular. If you need to be added to the church, there's only one way. And that's contact his blood. And the only way to contact his blood, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4, is by being baptized. Or if for some other reason you need to respond for prayers of strength, encouragement, forgiveness, whatever the case may be, we encourage you to come now as we stand together and sing.